Hi, this is Jerome Gil Martin, JMJ Catholic Radio, bringing local and EWTN Catholic programming to northeastern and central Pennsylvania. Welcome to the In the Father's Hands program with host Mary Kate Grady. Mary Kate's guest today is Father James Brent, member of the Dominican Order of Preachers. Father Brent was born and raised in Michigan. He received an undergraduate and graduate degrees in philosophy and went on to obtain a doctorate in philosophy from St. Louis University, and his STL, that's his licentiate in sacred theology, from the Pontifical Faculty of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. Father Brent taught in the School of Philosophy at the Catholic University of America and now teaches at the Dominican House of Studies, both in Washington, D.C. And Father Brent has written much about St. Thomas Aquinas and gives frequent lectures at the Thomistic Institute in Washington, D.C. And he also travels, preaching, and administering the sacraments at various locations. He has written a new book to be published sometime in December entitled The Father's House. Mary Kate?
Thank you so much, Jerry, and it's such a blessing to be back with you all again, and thank you for joining us today. And real quick, before we jump into our program with Father Brent, just as a reminder, if you're interested in knowing more about JMJ Catholic Radio, go ahead and give them a call at 570-287-4670. Or you could write to them, either sending in prayer intentions, requests, or even a financial donation if you're able to, at JMJ Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 851, Pittston, Pennsylvania, 18640. Now, just as a reminder, this program, In the Father's Hands, airs on Saturday evenings at 6:30 and Sunday afternoons at 1 p.m. And you can also access this program if you can't listen to it live online or over the radio. You can go onto Google and type in the Father's Hands podcast, and you can also listen to the episodes there. So please take advantage of that and let anybody else know that you feel might benefit from these programs. So let's go ahead and open our Bibles here, as we always do, to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10. And in verse 27, Jesus tells us, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for this promise of just your great love for us and how close you are to us. And please help us to remember this every moment of our day, especially in those hard moments when we're tempted to feel alone, that you're not there, that all the more feel your loving embrace around us and know that we belong to you and we're in your hands. And we thank you, Heavenly Father. Amen. And Father Brent, we're so glad to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us today.
It's great to be here with you, Mary Kate, and thank you for the invitation.
Of course, Father. And I'm kind of hit the ball into your court as far as if you would share with us a favorite verse of Scripture of yours today and why it's meaningful to you, Father.
Sure. When priests are ordained, they often have a card commemorating the event, an ordination card, and it's common for there to be a verse of Scripture on the back of the card that's special to that priest. And on my ordination card, on the back is the verse from the Gospel of John, chapter 15. It's very simple: "Abide in me. Abide in me." And that is a special verse to me because one time when I was in formation, I was on a retreat and I was doing some Lectio Divina, and that verse just jumped out very powerfully from the sacred page and struck me and really spoke to me and became a kind of guiding light for me. And it speaks to the desire for deep prayer, for contemplative prayer, a desire to live and dwell in the house of God and to be with God, who is the fountain of light and love. So it became a kind of motto for me, and I went on the back of my ordination card. So
something that strikes me about that, Father, is that phrase seems so almost countercultural in a way, because when you think of the fast-paced American lifestyle, abide isn't a word that comes to my mind, you know?
That's right, but in the secret of our hearts, we all want it. We all want rest, deep rest, not just the kind of rest that's like a recharge so you can keep going, but the kind of rest that is a real rest, when you no longer have anything to do and you can just be, and you can be with God and enjoy Him and enjoy those who are near and dear to you, and ponder the truth and contemplate. That's what we all want in the secret of our hearts, and there's something about our society that really keeps us from that. I think a lot of people are deeply frustrated with the pace of life, the massive emphasis on efficiency, doing more, doing faster, all the time, more and more, faster and faster. And people can't keep up with it, and they need real rest. They need to learn in the depths of their hearts to abide in Christ. And we have forgotten the Sabbath. You know, we have really forgotten the Sabbath. Human beings can't live without the Sabbath. We need a space, a time, at least one day a week, when we can really just rest and be with God.
That's beautiful, Father. Thank you for reminding us about that.
Sure.
And, so you know, Father, I always like to ask my guests just to delve a little bit into looking at their own life or experience of them seeing themselves, or how maybe the Heavenly Father has held them in His hands, provided them for them throughout their life, or seen Him provide for others. And if you would just touch on that a little bit today, your experience of seeing your own and others' experience of the Heavenly Father.
Sure. Well, several years ago, it's about 10 years ago now, in 2014 and 2015, I had the chance to go on the road full time. I went itinerant preaching all over the United States. I went with a fellow Dominican. And we traveled the United States on a preaching mission. And we reached out to college students, specifically, going to college campuses to preach to the students, leading retreats for college students on the weekends, and also to some young adult groups here and there. And we made it a theme as we went along the way to just proclaim the Father's love and the reality of God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the reality of His love for us, His mercy, His grace, His truth, His light. And just spoke to people of God the Father. And, you know, we made the point that the basic purpose of the whole coming of the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ, into the world, the whole purpose of His mission, of His death and on the cross and resurrection and the sending of the Spirit, the whole purpose of that ultimately is to bring us to the Father, to bring us to the Father's house, to lead us to the Father, and to help us to know Him, to know the Father, and to live as His adopted sons and daughters by grace, and to live in Christ as his sons and daughters, right? Mm-hmm. And this was the message. It was very simple, proclamation of God the Father and His plan to adopt human beings into the Father's house by grace, by the grace that comes to us through Jesus Christ. And as we went around preaching this and telling all these students about it, the response we had was really amazing to me. The students were very receptive, very responsive, very hungry for this for this word about God the Father. And there was a great longing and a great desire to really know the Father. And it was, you know, very common to say, tell us more, teach us more. Mm-hmm. And we saw many lives change, and many students had conversions, sometimes before our very eyes, you know, and we're in the sacrament of penance. Might be students who had not gone to confession in 10 years, or maybe it was their, you know, first time going to confession since they were kids, or things like that. And it was, there were other times when there were people that were far away, not practicing the faith, They would come on these retreats, hear this message about God the Father, his love for us, his plan to adopt us in Christ and in the church, and to bring us home through participation in the life of the church and the Eucharist. And they would have conversions practically before our very eyes, or we would hear from them later on, you know, through email or just meeting up with them later at other events. And they would tell us it was a turning point in their life. They came back to the practice of the faith. They began to go to church regularly like they had never done before. And they were just so hungry to learn of God the Father and being his adopted sons and daughters by grace. And the marvels he has done for us in Jesus Christ and the tremendous things that are available to us in the church.
Right.
Really
now, Father.
That was amazing to see all of that.
Right. Now, do you feel like when you were going around preaching, did you feel like people had maybe heard a lot or maybe not a lot about Jesus, but maybe not so much of an emphasis on the Father? Did you think
that's
that
right.
was kind of missing for them?
Yeah, it was missing. And especially to hear that the reason that Jesus came into the world was to introduce us to the Father and to lead us to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
That was new. So even if they had heard of Jesus and heard of his death and resurrection on the cross, or had heard of the Father, like they had prayed the Our Father or something, they had never really like made the connection between those two. Like they didn't quite realize that Jesus came into the world to bring us into the Father's house. Like that was a new thought. And so what we were doing was really unpacking the meaning of their baptism and saying, you know, your baptism was an adoption ceremony, really. I mean, you were adopted by God, and you were adopted into God. They had never heard that.
Wow, sure. And in a culture that struggles so much with fatherhood, that would probably be a pretty revolutionary idea or thought. You know.
It was, and that was one of the reasons why it resonated, because so many of the students had come from broken homes, fatherless homes. Even if they had fathers, you know, physically present in their house, a lot of times fathers are checked out emotionally or mentally from their homes. They're just totally consumed with work, come home and just, you know, turn on the TV or start surfing the internet, and they just check out from their family life. And they were really hungry for a relationship with their fathers and also God the Father. And they could see the connection between the two. And so we'd have to have conversations about what's a good father, what's a bad father, and how God the Father is really the criterion and the measuring stick of fathers everywhere. And so we'd talk about what God the Father, who he is and what he does for us, and how he provides for all and teaches all and loves all and has given us his eternal Son, Jesus Christ, to be the expiation for our sins, and how he protects all. You know, there are temptations in this world. There's the world, the flesh, and the devil, and they're constantly working to snatch us away from God and from the church. But he gives us, you know, his holy angels. He gives us his grace. He leads us. He protects us. He calls us. And, so just try to unpack the mystery of the fatherhood of God.
Right,
is what we did. And it really hit a lot of people, I think. I had to go through a formation in the Dominican Order and be kind of sort of immersed in sound theology, the theology of St. Thomas Aquinas and the teachings of the Church and Scripture. And it took time, you know, years actually, for the various connections to be made. And you start to realize, okay, the Catholic faith is not just a sort of a random set of facts.
Sure.
It's actually a unified story here. And God the Father sends the Son. The Son becomes incarnate in the womb of the Virgin Mary. He's born into this world. He's baptized by John the Baptist. He then is launched into his public ministry. He preaches and teaches and heals, casts out demons. He goes to the cross. He dies on the cross, rises from the dead. He returns to the Father's house. He pours out the Holy Spirit upon us from the Father, but he does so principally through the sacraments of the church, right? Through baptism. And in that, in our baptism, in that sacrament, we're actually adopted by the Holy Trinity and brought into the Father's house. Or we begin to be brought into the Father's house. And sure, the life of the church, the sacraments, are there to protect and promote this baptismal grace, this gift of being adopted, this life we've received, this supernatural life that's changed us. Like, to put all those things together in a single story, not a lot of people hear that story.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
But it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the good news.
So
it took me a while to learn it all, to be able to put it together that way.
Tell us some things that Jesus does tell us about the Father.
Well, it's a very interesting thing. You can go through the Gospel of Matthew, where he speaks of the Father very frequently. On almost every page, he's talking about the Father. And if you just go through the Gospel of Matthew and look at all the various places, he speaks explicitly of God the Father. And just study those passages, there emerges a really amazing portrait of the Father, about how caring he is, how loving he is, how kind he is, how he's just always there for us. So just take for one example, you know, from the Sermon on the Mount, the great passage where the Lord says, "Do not be anxious about what you are to eat or to drink, and do not be anxious about what you are to wear." If you just go through that passage and look at how many times he refers to the Father, you know, the Father takes care of the lilies of the field. The Father takes care of the things in nature. The Father takes care. The Father takes care. And if he takes care of the things in nature so well, how much more is he going to take care of you?
Yeah,
and so do not be anxious. So the whole message is, the Father is there for you, and you and I are called to cast our anxieties upon him because he cares for you. That's just one passage from the Gospel of Matthew.
Right, right.
The rest of it, you know, there's so many things, right? What father among you, if your son were to ask you for bread, would give him a stone, you know? Or if he were to ask for a fish, we'd give him a snake. No, if you're good to your own sons that way, how much more is the Father going to provide for you if you ask? How many more good things he'll give you? So the portrait the Lord is sort of giving us through his preaching and teaching is of a Father who's always there for us, who cares so much for us, even to the extreme of handing his own son over to death on the cross for us.
Beautiful. So Father, tell us a little bit about your book that's going to be coming out in December. I believe it's titled The Father's House. Maybe give us a little sneak peek about that book, Father, and kind of what it holds in store for us if we hopefully get a chance to read it.
Sure. Well, it's really a gathering together of a lot of the talks I would give when I was on the road and preaching. I gathered them all together into one little book. It'll be, you know, small size in its format, so you can, you know, carry it with you easily to an adoration chapel, or if you're going on a retreat somewhere or commuting somewhere, you can carry it along with ease. It won't be terribly long, but it's got 7 chapters, and really it is organized around 3 questions. What is the purpose of life? Who am I? And how do I find love? And I basically lay out the gospel answers to those questions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What's the purpose of life according to the gospel? What's the purpose? Who am I according to the gospel? How do I find love according to the gospel? So I sort of tell the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ and how it speaks to these questions, the questions of our purpose, our identity, and how we find love. That's the first 3 chapters, and then I have a chapter about the heart and the human heart and the affliction that our heart has universally because of the fall of man at the beginning of the creation of the human race. And so we call that the pathos of the heart. So we have a little bit of a discussion about healing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a chapter on the law of love. How do we live? How do we live according to these gospel answers? I mean, if you and I have become adopted sons and daughters of God in Jesus Christ, and if we've been flooded and filled with the Holy Spirit, okay, now what? How do we live? So I have a chapter on the law of love, you know, the great commandment. Hear, O Israel, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength.
Okay.
And I have a chapter then on the Beatitudes. So I go through each of the Beatitudes and give a little bit of an interpretation of each one of them. And they are like lessons, essential lessons and practices we need to take up in order to live into the Father's house, to live from out of this gift we've been given in our baptism and live into the Father's house.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a chapter on the Father's house where I look at, you know, what was a Father's house in the Old Testament? And then what is the Father's house in the New Testament when the Lord says, you know, in my Father's house there are many rooms and I go to prepare a place for you? What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
I try to unpack that in light of the Old Testament and its account of the Father's houses of the Old Testament. And then it all kind of leads up to, that's the main, I guess you could say the big chapter where I talk about God the Father the most and the most explicitly. And then there's a final chapter that talks about filial adoption a little bit more deeply. Now, what does this mean that we've been adopted? What does it mean spiritually and supernaturally?
Mm-hmm.
Then I talk about contemplative prayer a little bit. I want to introduce that very important topic to more people. I think more people in the world and the church need to realize we're all called to contemplative prayer.
Sure, yeah.
And then I have a little section on the Eucharist. Something of the Father's house and the heavenly places is already here with us on the earth. It's called the Eucharist, right? It's Christ himself, the man of heaven. He's with us.
Yeah.
So that's a quick sneak peek of the whole book. Again, it's not very long, and it's going to be, you know, small and portable, and I think it will give a lot of people a taste of the preaching that we did when we were on the road.
Okay, great, Father. How are people going to be able to get a hold of that book or find it when it comes out in December?
Sure. Well, the Kindle edition is coming out at the end of September. The paperback edition will be out in December, sometime before Christmas.
Okay.
And it'll be available on all of your, major book purchasing venues. It will be published by Pauline Books and Media.
Okay.
But you can look for pre-order information on various places starting end of September.
Okay, great. Just a word out there to all of you, it could possibly be a Christmas present for people. So keep that all in mind, everybody out there. So
that's right.
We're almost out of time here, Father, but I just wanted to ask you one last question. This is probably not giving you a lot of time to answer this, but, you know, we do call our priest in the Catholic Church Father, and it seems to me that, the priesthood in a certain way aligns with the Heavenly Father. Like, they're also called Father. How do you feel like, as a priest, are some ways priests are called to love as the Heavenly Father?
Absolutely. I mean, just as a human father, you know, brings a child into this world, a priest will bring a child into the supernatural world right through baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And just as a human father feeds his child, so the spiritual father, the priest, will also feed his children through the celebration of the Eucharist and distributing Holy Communion. A human father tends to his children when they're sick, so a priest will tend to the sick with the sacrament of the anointing.
Mm-hmm.
Human father teaches his children the meaning of life and what it's all about. And a spiritual father will do the same through preaching and teaching and, you know, proclaiming the faith and helping to unpack the scriptures for people. So all the things that spiritual fathers do, all the things that fathers do in the natural order, we say, priests will do in the spiritual order, the supernatural order of things. And so the Christian people have long called their priests father. And It's moving. It is very moving when people really say, you know, we look to you as our spiritual father, and we're hungry for what you have to teach and to give us.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, absolutely, very moving. It's very moving. And it's an awesome responsibility, and it requires a great grace, and we ask for everyone to pray for us.
Absolutely, Father. We definitely most assuredly will. Yeah, that's wonderful. And, you know, Father, before we close out today, if you wouldn't mind, if you could give us a blessing, all those listening, especially for all those out there that maybe don't really know the Heavenly Father well yet, or struggle in their own life with their own Father. Just a blessing for all of us, Father. If you could give that to us, that would be wonderful.
Of course. May Almighty God bless you, Mary Kate, and all of your listeners. May the Spirit of the living God descend upon everyone anew and illuminate your hearts very brightly and begin to unite you to Jesus Christ more and more than ever before, and open the eyes of your heart to the eternal Father, the Father of lights, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and may you be drawn up to him with a new faith in him, a new confidence and hope in him, a new love for our Father who lives in the heavenly places, who looks upon you with love and care all the days of your life. May the peace and blessing of Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit come down on you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you again so much for joining us today, Father.
My joy.
So happy to have you on. And I'm just going to put out a quick blurb out there that Father Brent will be joining us in October at St. Faustina's Chapel. So, of course, be in touch with me, and we'll have the word out there on JMJ to have you all join us to celebrate St. Faustina in October. So look
forward to it.
Us too, Father. All right. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week, and we'll be with you again. Bye now.